In John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." I read an article this morning that reported depression is 3 times higher during the COVID pandemic. Depression is like darkness in your soul. Are you experiencing darkness in your life? What kind of darkness torments you? You know, there's many different kinds of darkness. Some are more severe than others, but sometimes it just seems so thick and black, like there's no hope for the future. Being in depression can be like the lights are out and you can't find the switch to turn it on. It's so hard to get out of a depressed state. But what exactly is darkness? Well, science tells us that it's simply the absence of light. The light travels so fast that the second you turn it on, there it is. It travels at 185,000 miles per second. That's how fast light moves. And all we have to do is turn the light on to get out of the darkness. I remember one time I was lost in the forest at night. I was trying to walk back to my truck, but I took a wrong turn. And there I was, wandering through a dark forest without a flashlight, completely lost. It's a frightening thing to be lost in the forest, and yet so many people are. So many people who we see every day, they look like they're in the light, and they might even smile at us or nod at us like they're doing okay. But if we could see inside their souls, they're lost in darkness. This world has let us all down. It has promised us pleasure only to return to us a bitter cup. It's like those who go to the bar and think they can drink away the darkness that they feel when they're sober, but it only gets worse. They might get lost in drunken laughter and yes, lost in darkness. Then they wake up the next morning only to a hangover and thicker darkness. So they think, maybe I can go back tonight and I'll have another drink and drink it away and drink away my depression and my darkness. So there I was in the forest, in the dark. At first I was in denial about my situation. Surely I couldn't have gotten myself lost. I've been down this trail many times. So I kept wandering in the dark. And sure enough, at some point I had to admit that I was lost. You know, that's one thing that's hard to do when you get lost. It's to admit that you're lost. It requires a level of humility that I didn't really have at that time. It was pretty desperate when I finally realized I'm lost. And to realize that we're lost is actually a good thing, because at that point you can take better strategies than if you don't even know you're lost. One of the things you don't want to do if you're lost in the forest is to continue wandering in darkness. You need to stop and stay put and really try to get your bearings about you and wait. But if you keep wandering, you'll just get more and more lost. The other day, I took my daughter out to eat in a restaurant, and after some pleasant conversation with the waitress who was serving us, I asked her if she knows the million-dollar question. And she said, "No, what is it?" I said, "Do you know if you're going to heaven when you die?" She stopped for a few seconds and replied, "No, I don't." I could tell from her response and the expression on her face that she was another soul lost in darkness. She tried to smile and be pleasant, do her job well, but for an instant I could see through the windows of her soul, her eyes, and I could tell that she was lost in darkness. I've been there. I've been lost in darkness. In fact, even literally, both figuratively and literally, I've been lost in darkness. So I kept wandering through the forest in the dark. I was getting more and more scared. I was only a teenager and I'd never been lost in the forest before. It was really quite frightening and scary. After some time, I found myself trying to navigate across a lava rock field with huge boulders. I was hoping to find a trail on the other side, but I didn't, only darkness. You know, about 15 years ago, I was in Kentucky doing some ministry work. And there were a couple of older ladies giving me a ride to a Bible study. And as we were driving, I noticed a young man walking down the street in the opposite direction. I felt like God was immediately urging me to go and talk to him. So I asked the ladies to pull over and I jumped out of the car and walked over to him. I said, "I know this may sound really strange, but I believe that God wants me to talk to you." He looked kind of surprised and he said, "Oh, really?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Do you know any of the Ten Commandments?" He said, "Oh, sure." I replied, "What about thou shalt not commit adultery?" His face and his countenance just suddenly changed. He turned white and he looked astonished. He said, "Let me tell you something. You see that house back there? That's my wife's house. And you see that house up ahead? That's my girlfriend's house. That's where I'm going right now." So I asked him, "Let me ask you something." I said, "How does a guy come here all the way from Colorado, see you walking down the street, jump out of his car, run over to you, and tell you not to commit adultery?" And he said, "I can't deny that you were sent to me from God. I know that that's true." So there we were, stuck between his wife and his seductress, his wife in adultery. He was left with a choice. I shared with him the light, and he knew that it was from God, but the pull of lust was all over him. The call of darkness was upon him, and the voice was calling him. It sounded like sweet pleasure, but it was actually deadly poison. He was walking in darkness. Here's how Proverbs puts it. Proverbs chapter 5 says, "My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, and her steps lay hold of hell. Therefore, hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel one. Lest aliens be filled with your wealth, and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. And you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed, and you say, 'How I've hated instruction, and my heart despised correction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation. Drink water from your own cistern, and running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets? Let them be your own, and not for strangers. Let your fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of your youth. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman, and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. He shall die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray." You know, to this day, I don't know what choice that man made, but I carried the warning message to him and left him standing there at the crossroads. I did what I could do, but I fear that he fell like the fool in Proverbs, and that even a warning that he knew came from God wouldn't stop him from giving in to his lusts and falling into the trap of the immoral woman, and yes, from walking in darkness. But I've been in the dark like that before, too, so I can't pick up a stone and throw it at him. There I was, lost in the forest. I made it across that boulder field without getting hurt, but I was still lost in the dark, and at this point was when I decided to pray. How often do we wait until we are hopelessly lost to decide to pray? Why do we wait so long? So I prayed and I called out to the one who claims to be the light of the world. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." But why did I wait so long to pray? It seems that we all ask ourselves that at times, doesn't it? So I prayed and I cried out to Jesus and asked him to help me out of the dark mess I was in, hopelessly lost in the forest in the dark. And you know what? Just a few minutes later, I found the path and my way out. I was so thankful that he showed me the way, and I wondered, why didn't I pray sooner? Luke chapter 1 verse 78 says that because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the path of peace. Doesn't that sound beautiful? Wouldn't it be great to be led out of the darkness that you're in and to be guided into the path of peace? I love that. In 2 Samuel 22:29, it says, "You, Lord, are my lamp. The Lord turns my darkness into light." So back to the restaurant with the waitress. So I asked her, and I asked her if she knew if she was going to heaven when she dies, and if she would like to know. And I told her that Jesus says that anyone who believes in him shall never perish but have eternal life. Why do we wait so long to receive the light of Jesus? She seemed encouraged about that, but like she didn't really believe it. The darkness was thick, and the light was having a difficulty penetrating the darkness. But the darkness is really only there because we allow it to be there. All we have to do is let go and turn the light switch on. And Jesus is the light of the world. He's the only one with the qualifications and the power to save us from the darkness that's all around us. He's the only one who knows what's really going on inside of us. It's pretty lonely to think, I feel all this darkness on the inside, and yet no one knows. No one cares. But let me tell you something. The Bible promises us that Jesus cares, and he knows. He loves us so much that he gave his life for us. Paul said in the Bible in 1 Timothy 1:15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. I am the chief of sinners. You may think that not even Jesus could pull you out of the darkness that you're in or forgive your sins. But stop and consider Paul for a minute. He said that he's the worst of sinners. He used to kill Christians merely for following Jesus. He would go to their houses and drag them out of their house and throw them in prison. He even killed them. Have you ever done anything that bad? No? Then Jesus can save you too. No matter how thick the darkness, Jesus can pierce through it. John chapter 1 says that in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. And he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Jesus said that this is the condemnation. Light came into the world, but men loved darkness rather than light. You see, many people think that they're condemned because they never heard about God, or they think that, you know, how would God send someone to hell who had never heard about him? How is that just? But that's not the condemnation. Jesus brings light to every person coming into the world. One way or the other, he reveals himself to them, so the condemnation cannot be connected to their lack of knowledge about him. He's given the knowledge of himself to them through many different ways. One is the testimony of creation. The other is the testimony of their built-in conscience. And the other is the testimony of the Holy Spirit, who is convicting the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. So every person, even an Aborigine in the backwoods of Australia, or tribes that have never heard of Jesus, they all have those same three testimonies: their conscience, creation, and the Holy Spirit. And therefore, the condemnation does not have to do with never hearing about Jesus. It has to do with loving darkness rather than light. God is going to get light to every person coming into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. Jesus said he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, because the world's already condemned. So he came into the world to save the world, to lead those who are walking in darkness into the light. How scary it is to be lost in darkness. It is a terrible thing, and yet almost everybody in our culture, our society, right here in El Paso, Texas, right here in the United States, almost everyone is walking in darkness. And the light switch is right there, but they don't want to turn it on because it might mess with their plans for this weekend. It might mess with what they love to watch on television. It might mess with their trip to the bar. It might mess with their whatever it is, their pornography, their lusts, their fornication, or living with their someone who's not who they're not married to. You see, these are all the things that keep us from turning on the light, and then we wonder why we spiral more and more into darkness. There are very subtle ways that we allow darkness to come into our souls, into our lives. It might be people who enjoy just simply reading a book. We say it's an innocent book. It's just a novel. It's just a love story. It's an innocent TV show. It's an innocent video game. It's an innocent song that we like to listen to. But the words, the messages that we're reading are darkness. They're not light. We neglect the Bible. We keep it closed on our shelf most of the time. And we allow so many other things to come into our lives that fill our hearts and our souls with darkness. And then, because we open the door to darkness, depression can gain hold. Depression that will drag us down and bring us down, and we don't even know how it happened. And yet, we're eating and drinking poison. It feels pleasure for the moment, but it's the way that the darkness enters in. There's a lot of practical light in the Bible that would lead us out of darkness. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible is Colossians chapter 3. You know, this chapter is a chapter that you, if you embrace it, you could live a wonderful life. If this was the only chapter in the whole Bible that you had access to, you could live a wonderful life with this, with the lights on. It would drive away the depression. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived with them." It says you once walked. It's assuming that you're willing to put those things away. But are you willing? Are you going to keep hanging on to them? Are you going to keep watching movies that you know are evil? Are you going to keep listening to music that you know dishonors God? Are you going to keep watching television shows that you know are filthy? Are you going to keep looking at pornography? Are you going to keep doing these things, even whether little or big, these sins that allow that darkness into your soul? Verse 8 says, "But now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all." And what that means is there's no class of people. There's no race, no ethnicity, nothing that divides us. But if you believe in Jesus Christ, we are all one in Christ. He is tells us to live in this newness of light, to walk in the light. Verse 12 says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." Now, here's another thing that keeps people in depression and darkness. Somebody hurt you, and you've refused to forgive them. You've refused to forgive them. You're holding on to anger and bitterness, and that opens the door to darkness, and then now you're depressed. Someone once said that unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to get sick, but you're drinking it yourself. You've got to let it go. That's what it says here, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against someone else, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You see, to get rid of the darkness, you have to have light to replace it. Because if there's no light to replace it, only darkness can remain. It's one or the other. You can't have both. The scripture says that you can't drink of both the cup of demons and the cup of the Lord. And many Christians, many professing Christians, try to do that. They drink of the cup of demons during the week, and then they go to church on Sunday and try to drink of the cup of the Lord. And they wonder why they have no power in their life to overcome the darkness. They're depressed, they're down, and they can't get out of it because they continue to let the darkness in. And trust me, I know. I struggle with these things too, but we must call it what it is. We must let the light of Christ come in and fill us. And we are only going to do that if we fill our minds with the Word of God. If you're listening to secular music, replace it with Christian music. That's what it says here. Admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. How can you do that if you're filling songs and of the world into your mind and your heart? You can't. So we need to fill the music that comes into our minds and that comes out of us should be Christian. Let go of secular music. Let go of secular movies. Throw them away. Throw it out like the garbage that it is. Get rid of these things that are dragging you down. There's freedom and hope in Christ. Let us all together repent of the dark things that we're hanging on to and trust in the only one that could ever save us. Many people remain depressed because they're only living to serve themselves. But did you know that God left the throne of heaven to come and serve us? In Mark 10:45, it says, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. If we would serve others, give our time reaching out to others, being hospitable to others, it gets our minds off ourselves and heals us from the depression and darkness that's within us. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrated his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Do you want light in your life? Then receive it. It's right there in front of you, but let go of the darkness. In 2 Corinthians 8:9 it says, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." 1 Timothy 1:15 says that this is a trustworthy saying and deserving of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Remember, Paul said, "I'm the chief of sinners." And in 1 John 4:10 it says, "In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." That's like the satisfying payment for our sins to God. Revelation 5:9 says, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation." Isn't that wonderful? No one's left out of that. That there is a pardon being offered to you, and it's written in the blood of Jesus Christ. And you may say, well, I just feel depressed. I accepted Christ years ago, but my life just feels like darkness. Well, maybe it's because you haven't truly given your heart to Him. You may have accepted Him to try to get a free ride to heaven, but have you really given your heart to Him? I want you all to consider that this week. We need to follow Him with all of our hearts. The days are dark, the time is dark, and the time is short. So let's live the rest of our lives for Jesus Christ. He's worthy of it. Let's give it all to Him and watch how the darkness is driven away.